Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer Podcast. This is Rob Phillips.
I'm Ollie Bay.
Got a lot of news to cover. Didn't get as much done this weekend. I wanted to do some game film, but went to a party Saturday night.
Had some festivities. Some libations.
A little hungover.
That'll do it. I don't know. I feel like we get one good one a year.
One good what?
Celebration. Hangover.
One a year. That's pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. I usually get one a week. All right, to follow up on some of the stuff from the last podcast, Josh Huff, we were discussing who it was, the speedy kick returner that we got that was a past Olympian. Well, Josh Huff was signed to the Buccaneers practice squad November 7th, 2016, and activated to the roster December 6th, 2016. He was released on September 2nd, 2017. Now, he did run track as a sprinter in high school, but it was Jeff Demps who won a silver medal at the 2012 Summer Olympics. He signed with the Buccaneers after a trade with the Patriots for running back LeGarrette Blount on April 27, 2013. Both players, Josh Huff and Jeff Demps, were added to the Bucs for speed on special teams specifically.
I can see how you confused a high school track runner for an Olympian. That'll happen. How many medals do you have in the Olympics?
In high school?
They're the same thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, Josh Huff, he's the one that's listed on the Saints roster, but he's in the AAF now.
Okay. There's an AAF game tonight. Oh, by the way, it's March 17th, 2019, 7:48 p.m. Another follow-up. We had asked, is Rondae Barber's number retired? The interesting stuff I found out about this. No, his number is not retired. Only three Buccaneers have retired numbers. That's Derek Brooks, number 55, Leroy Selman, number 63, and Warren Sapp, number 99. Now, Rondae Barber's college number was retired at Virginia. But here's the interesting thing I found out. Didn't know this. The Baltimore Ravens, the Dallas Cowboys, the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Oakland Raiders all have no retired numbers.
Really?
Yes, but the Cowboys and the Raiders, it's a policy with them. They do not retire numbers. They have a ring of honor, but they don't retire numbers.
Huh.
Ravens, Jaguars, and Texans just haven't had anybody good enough to retire yet.
They'll probably retire Ray Lewis.
And J.J. Watt, I would imagine, when his time is up.
Yeah, probably. He was so memorable.
What about Suggs?
Yeah, maybe Suggs.
He's
going to another team.
Yeah. He's been playing, what, 16 years?
Wow.
He's 39, something.
What?
Here's something else to follow up, fact check on.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going back to Arizona where he played college, I think.
Okay.
Yep, that's going to be a fact check. Another follow-up. Al Holcomb was the defensive coordinator for the Cardinals last year, while Deion,
you're going to get it when he gets
get
a cut.
Deion Buchanan was there.
Is he still there?
He is the linebackers coach and run game coordinator for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Just off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head. He was fired as defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals, along with the head coach, Steve Wilks.
Okay. Well, there we have it.
There we have it. You know, I listened to the podcast, A Few Extra Bucks, with Mike Neighbors, Justin Thomas, and Roy Cumming the other night. It was pretty good. I just brought that up because I had forgotten all about Roy Cummings until I listened to that podcast. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I used to like him.
Yeah, he's a little quieter with the Bucs news. He does a lot of all the Florida team. He's not just a Bucs reporter.
Oh, okay. That was a good podcast.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Yes.
Is he regularly on there or just that episode?
I don't know. You know, there's so many podcasts and you just get backed up in your queue. And I haven't listened to that one for quite a while.
Yeah.
We got some free agency news. Of course, we all know some of the big names. I want to talk about Quan Alexander real quick. What do you think about his intangibles being gone, you know, his, the locker room stuff? Everybody says he's great in the locker room, heart, soul, the defense, all that good stuff. What do you think about that being gone?
I think it creates kind of a vacuum and someone will fill it. I think JPP could. We might get another rookie who has that kind of passion. One of these free agency guys might bring it in, but more of Bruce Arians flavor of locker room leadership. I think the leadership was always going to change with Bruce Arians because that's the kind of style that he likes. He likes bringing in these veterans who mentor the younger guys.
Which he has definitely done. We'll get to that in a minute. We got a lot of strange free agency signings.
Yeah.
Another fact check was it was Lee DeCamper and not Steve Isbitz from Joe Bucks fans that talked about the DeSean Jackson story at the combine.
Okay.
I think it was Steve Isbitz was saying that Quan Alexander is the best teammate he's ever seen.
Really?
You know, as far as the intangibles are concerned. He said he was just a dynamic football player in that regard. So it's going to be interesting to see if that's missed. But he also brought up the point that, you know, while Kwon was here, we fielded some of the worst defenses in the history of the football.
Right.
So
what good was it really?
Yeah. I mean, how important is that stuff? You know, we like to think, you know, we see movies and, you know, we have it in our head of how important that stuff is. But is it really that important? Don't know.
I think it comes down, again, to the culture. He couldn't overcome the culture, maybe. That'll be my guess. I don't really know.
You know, speaking of Rondae Barber's number 20, Day'on Buchanan will be wearing number 23 out of respect to Rondae Barber, according to Greg Allman. He wore 20 at Arizona. But then again, all these free agents that we've been signing, they switch numbers all the time. It's very strange. You don't see it the whole lot. But, and much of that has to do with these guys aren't regular starters. Usually they're backup guys.
Yeah.
Most of the free agents we signed. But he was number 36 when he first came in the league at Arizona. But then he switched to number 20 in 2015. So he's going to go to number 23 now. So these guys have absolutely no attachment to their numbers. It's like we signed Earl Watford, guard from Cleveland. He started off with number 78. That was his number. And then he changed it to number 71 in 2017. And then he changed it to number 77 when he went to Chicago for preseason. And then he changed it back to 71 when he went to Cleveland, where he played last year, which he's an interesting case. He was drafted by Arians in 2013, fourth round, and he played in 55 games, started 22. So he's got experience. He played with Cleveland last year, and he was signed by Chicago in 2018, but was cut before the season.
So did he not play in 2018?
Yes, he played with Cleveland.
Oh, gotcha. They picked him up after he was cut.
Yes.
So was he a starter at Cleveland?
No, he did not start at Cleveland last year. He was a backup to Kevin Zeitler.
Gotcha.
But he did play in 13 games last year.
Okay.
He just never started any.
Right. So he'll be competing with Kappa.
Don't know. That's just a weird situation there. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Maybe they probably don't even know what they're going to do at this point.
Yes.
Still early.
Right. We all know about our drafting of Day'on Buchanan. And I want to say this. The game film that I did watch is he's not the best in coverage. He covers a lot of the guys out of the backfield, the running backs, stuff like that. He really focuses in on those. And he's not horrible at it. But they catch the ball, but he's right on top of them. And I looked up some information, and I want to know how many snaps did he play? Well, in 2014, he played 65% of the snaps. He started 9 games, but he played in all 16. In 2015, he played 95% of the snaps. He played in 16 games and started in 16. That was his best year. In 2016, he played 76% of the snaps. He played in 13 games and started in 13.
So he probably got injured.
Yes, he's got hip injuries that seem to be recurring to him. In 2017, he played 67% of the snaps, 12 games started. But in 2018, last year, he only played 35% of the snaps. He played in 13 games, only started 6. In Bowles defense, he played 65% of the snaps. And Scott Reynolds from Pewter Report has said that he might not play in the base package. He's just going to be used sparingly, and we're wearing the nickel linebacker position or whatever. I don't know. I think he's going to be used quite often. I think he's going to be around the 2015 mark where he played 95% of the snaps. We know Lavonte David is going to be on the field most of the time, but other than that, we don't have any other linebacker that we know is going to be out there most of the time. Funny thing with Buchanan, he does not like to be called a linebacker. He calls himself a money backer. The Arizona Cardinals actually had him listed on the roster as $LB. He was called a money backer. He told his teammate Tony Jefferson, this is according to ArizonaCardinals.com, that Buchanan, he bristles at the idea that he's a linebacker. He told Tony Jefferson, "I'm a rover, a money backer. I don't consider myself a linebacker." And he told Robert Mays of The Ringer, quote, "When you say linebacker, people think that means I can't cover receivers. I can't do what a safety does. I can do all those things. I don't like limiting myself or putting myself in one category." End
but
quote.
You said he's not great at coverage.
Well, of all the things, that's his weak spot, I think. But it's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, he's still tackling him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's right there on top of him. But they seem to be able to get in front of it.
And last week, you said he's always looking at the ball.
Yes. He watches that ball. He played with Kevin Minter in Arizona.
Okay. So they might have a little bit of chemistry.
And Todd Bowles, too. You know, he was there with Todd Bowles, and so was Kevin Minter. As a matter of fact, Kevin Minter was drafted in 2013 by when Jeff Bowles and Bruce Arians were there.
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles. That draft included Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. He was third round pick. Kevin Minter was a second round pick. And Alex Okafor was in that draft. He was picked in the fourth round. Yes. And Earl Wofford, the guy we just got for our guard, was picked by Arizona in the fourth round.
Wow.
And then Andre Ellington, who's on our team now, was picked in the sixth round.
So we've got three of the six.
Yes. Three of their six draft picks are now on our roster.
Okay. I kind of like that, though. I don't have an issue with that.
No. As long as they win, I don't care.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing. Kevin Minter was cut by Todd Bowles last year, the Jets.
Oh, he was?
Yep. They brought him in the preseason, and after the fourth preseason game, they cut him.
Oh. So he just didn't make the last round of cut. He didn't make the final 53.
Yes.
But maybe they had a lot of depth at linebacker, and they didn't need him.
I don't know about that, but he never played a snap for the Jets, which you just find that very strange. You know, he was drafted, and he played for Bowles in Arizona, and then Bowles brings him in the Jets. They don't think he's good enough to get on the team, so they cut him, and now he's back with Bowles at Buccaneers. It's very strange. Oh, Dale Buchanan, it wasn't a hip injury. I'll get to that. Somebody else with a hip injury, but he's got some ankle issues.
Oh.
Yes. This is from footballoutsiders.com. It says, quote, moneybacker Dale Buchanan added to his long recent history of ankle injuries and looks likely to miss time. Assuming the injury is a low ankle sprain, about 40% of these injuries cause linebackers to miss time and a quarter cause guys to miss 3 weeks or longer. However, Buchanan's history of ankle problems raises the risk that he misses major time. Typical recovery times are 1 to 5 weeks, but Buchanan's history could put him on the longer end of that. Yes, now that's not the only problem we have with some of the guys we've signed and injuries. We signed our linebacker Shaquille Barrett to a one-year deal worth $4 million that could become $5 million with incentives. Now, he's been with Denver since 2014, but he did not play in 2014. He was a undrafted rookie, I believe. He's played in 61 games, but only started 15. He has 7 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, and 14 sacks. 137 tackles with 100 of them solo. That's pretty impressive. 25 tackle for losses and 35 quarterback hits. And he has played in every game since 2015, except 3 games in 2018. Weeks 13, 14, and 15, he missed due to a hip flexor injury.
Mm.
Now, he sat out the 2017 whole offseason due to a hip injury. So he's
the whole offseason?
Yes. 2017. He missed training camp. Yeah.
Oh, all offseason. I got that. I follow you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we've got both of our linebackers that we've gotten in free agency here are got a little bit of history with injuries.
But how many players are you going to get that don't?
Right.
I mean, even Tyrann Mathieu had ACL tear. I mean, Sean Jackson had an ACL tear. Everybody, I think.
And I looked at the play where Shaquille Barrett got hurt in week 12, and he just like kind of did the splits. He went to and he was fine. He just kind of limped a little bit after the play. So it's not that big of a deal. It's not like he was laying on the ground writhing in misery and had to be carted off or anything.
Yeah.
His snap counts, though, in 2014 were 0. 2015, he played 45% of the defensive snap counts. 2016, he played 37%. 2017, 67%. And 2018, 25%. So he's never really played a lot.
Why didn't he play in 2014? Do you know?
No, I looked it up. Couldn't find any information on it.
That's weird.
Yeah, no games started.
Huh.
He did win a Super Bowl ring in 2015 with Denver against Carolina. He had one solo tackle on special team. He played 22 snaps on defense and 26 snaps on special teams in the Super Bowl.
So that could be part of his draw, too, is that he plays on special teams.
Yes. He's also another one. He came in the league as number 50, but started wearing number 48 in 2015.
Okay.
He was an undrafted free agent signed by Broncos in 2014. He was placed on the practice squad for all games except week 7 against the 49ers and the AFC divisional playoff game versus the Colts, but he never played in either game.
Gotcha. Okay.
He played college at Colorado State University after Nebraska Omaha eliminated its football program in 2010, which he was part of. And Pro Football Focus.
Really?
Boo. I just have to throw this out there. His grades in 2016 were an 84, in 2017, 82.6, and in 2018, a 75.9. So all you people that care about Pro Football Focus, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast, but if you do, there you go. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to do some game film on him and see what I come up with. I'm kind of excited about Dale Buchanan, though. He seems to be a pretty solid player. Bucks re-signed defensive tackle Raheem Nunez-Roches to a one-year deal.
Nacho, that's what they call him.
Nacho's got a one-year deal. That brings me to something else. every single free agent we've signed in the offseason, except for Donovan Smith and Ryan Griffin, have gotten one-year deals. Every single one of them. Peyton Barber, even.
Yeah.
And he actually wanted it. He wanted that one-year deal. So if he plays good next year, he can get lots of money.
Oh, good on him.
But Donovan Smith got 4 years, and Ryan Griffin got two-year deal.
I think Donovan got 3 years.
Okay, Donovan might have got 3 years. So we're not signing anybody to long-term contracts.
Right.
These are all prove-it contracts. And the bad thing of it is that if they play good this year, we're going to lose them because they're going to ask for a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we can't pay them.
Right. We're just kind of kicking the can down the road.
And you think we're cash-strapped now up against the cap. Next year is going to be really bad, especially if Jameis Winston does good. We're going to have to pay him out the nose.
Right, because it's the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I mean, they've said before they're in win-now mode.
Right.
So I wonder if this is just an extension of that.
I think so. Well, you know, some people have pointed out that the Patriots do this quite a bit to get the compensatory draft picks.
Oh.
There's a good article on compensatory draft picks if you're not familiar with them. It's real complicated, but maybe that's what we're doing. But I think it's more a product of us being up against the cap.
Yeah.
You know, we just can't sign anybody. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Jason Light has learned his lesson about signing these big-name free agents that don't pan out. We end up paying them a lot of money over a number of years. Don't know.
Didn't stop in with Donovan Smith.
Ugh, yeah. Quarterback Devontae Harris re-signed, of course, to a one-year deal.
Right. Is that surprising to you?
That he got
I mean, he was kind of unremarkable.
Yeah, he was all right.
He was all right.
He was all right. Everybody in the secondary was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked him. Whitehead seemed, I really liked him.
Yeah. They're just young.
Yeah.
They've got a few years of developing, I think.
But they didn't play bad. You know, once Mike Smith was gone.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they
started.
Yeah, I thought they all stepped up and played pretty well. Adrian Claiborne was released from the Patriots. Ex-Buccaneer.
Interesting.
Defensive end. It'll be interesting.
Has anybody picked him up?
Not that I am aware of. It'll be interesting to see if anybody does. You know, he always had injury issues. It was one of the problems with us. And then he goes to the Atlanta Falcons and goes to the Super Bowl. And then he goes to the New England Patriots and wins the Super Bowl.
Figures.
What is up with that? I'm so tired of that happening to ex-Buccaneer players. Ex-backup quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick has signed with the Dolphins. 2 years, $11 million deal with incentives that could push it to $17 to $20 million. Now, this is fascinating to me because they traded Tannehill to the Tennessee Titans.
I know. That was really surprising to me.
Yes. Well, that, I mean, that really makes you think, what are the Titans going to do over there with
what are they doing
Marcus
with Mariota?
Yeah, I mean, are they...
Is it just they want a solid backup?
Wait, is Tannehill really a solid backup? I mean...
I don't know. You know, I mean, he's had a lot of injuries. I thought that's why he hasn't been playing.
All right. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing over there.
But I think, doesn't Marcus Mariota have injury problems too?
Yes. He missed quite a few games with injuries.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't been the franchise quarterback that they want. So, I don't know if they're starting to sniff around for something else. Interesting, though, that Ryan Fitzpatrick, as of now, is going to be the starter for the Miami Dolphins.
Good for him. Well, he's played for the Jets and the Bills in that division.
Right, yeah. The only one he hasn't played for is the Patriots.
Patriots, yeah. But I'm glad that he got a longer term deal. Oh, I mean, longish term. And 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
For him. That's pretty good, I think.
That is pretty good.
And he's a starter. Probably going to be the starter.
It's amazing you can get off of that, all of that off of just two good games in 2018.
He did have... Two good games.
Yes.
Maybe three. Pittsburgh wasn't. I mean, we lost, but.
See, today's the 17th, but I had this written down that March 15th was the season pass membership renewal deadline for all you Buccaneer fans with season passes. Arians Foundation, March 22nd to 23rd, is having their 6th annual Celebrity Golf Classic in Wild Horse Pass, Arizona. Proceeds from the Golf Classic benefit CASA, C-A-S-A, which is the Court Appointed Special Advocates Foundation. They make sure that children who are involved in the court system as a result of abuse or neglect by their families receive the love and help they need. That's straight from the Arians Foundation website. So if you're out there in Wild Horse Pass, Arizona on the 22nd and 23rd, go check it out.
That's what his wife does. She's a CASA.
Yeah, she's got
Chris Arians.
A video up on the website of her talking
gotcha.
About it.
Gotcha. So it's Arians. Near and dear to the Arians family.
AriansFoundation.com or .org. I don't know.
When are they going to get the hats out? I want a hat. The Arians.
They've got them out. They had them out like the day he signed.
Well, I know that, but he keeps talking about they're getting more. I think they're getting the design nailed down or something.
Well, let's look on, where would we look? Buccaneers.com for that?
Yeah, in the store.
Let's see what they got. Let's go shopping.
I know.
Women love to shop. I say that, but I've got more Buccaneer stuff than she does.
That's true. You had a head start, though.
This is true. Well, that's very fascinating. We just looked through the whole Buccaneers shop, and there are no Kangol hats. There's not on NFLShop.com either.
That's what I was saying. I think that they're still working on the design, and he said it's going to come out, and they're going going to use the proceeds for this foundation.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
So it's still in the design process.
Huh. I don't know if I could wear one of those. I think Bruce Aarons is one of the few people that can pull them off.
I'm a hat person. I think I'll give it the old college try.
Okay. I'll buy you one.
Okay.
Here's an interesting story. This has to do with our enemies in our division. Carolina Panthers guard Taylor Hearn had a rough night in Augusta, Georgia. He got knocked out cold in a brutal street fight. It was captured on video.
Whoa.
And here's the funny thing about it. These guys were small. Yeah, he was out there pushing guys around, and they were pushing him around, and they were small. And I'm sitting there going, this guy's an offensive lineman? Man, Carolina was so, but he's a second stringer, left guard. But yeah, then this little dude, much, much smaller, you know, half the size of him, just clocks him. Oh. And he fell like a sack of potatoes, and boom.
Like a David and Goliath thing.
Yeah, he didn't stay out. I mean, he got right back up.
But. Right. Oof. I wonder if there's going to be any repercussions with the team for that.
Heck no. If he would hit a woman or something, that would have been different. But, you know, that happens all the time with these NFL players. They're always out there beating guys up. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if people try to challenge them to...
Yeah, you know, you go out there...
It's like a tough guy thing.
You get drunk, you pick on the biggest guy out there to be tough.
It's like when you go to prison and punch the biggest guy in the face so you can get some cred.
Is that a thing? When you went to prison,
I've heard
did you
it,
do that?
Yeah. I saw it in a movie once.
Yeah. I saw a video of a guy. It was, I don't know, crack.com or something. I can't remember.
Crack.
But it was this big prisoner, and he was talking about, please stop. Because... He was like, I'm a really nice guy. I'm real passive. I like baking cookies and stuff like that. And all the time, all the new inmates that come in, they feel like they got to beat up on me. He said, it really hurts my feelings. Makes me cry. It was hilarious.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yes, very much. So anyhow, that is it for the Buccaneers news and information for this weekend. We'll probably get some more things picked back up this week. Draft is coming up. A lot of free agency doesn't really happen until after the draft.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of teams like the Colts and stuff. I mean, they're still sitting on like $100 million cap
good
space.
Lord.
Yeah, they didn't do hardly anything in free agency, but I think they're going to wait till after the draft, and that's when everybody's going to start scrambling to fill all their gaps and holes.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out because, I mean, we're getting guys who they're not starters or they don't play all the time or, you know, I mean, they may have been drafted high like Perriman, but they just haven't panned out. So, and we're giving them these one-year prove-it contracts. So I don't know if Arians knows these guys. I mean, he knows a lot of them personally, but is he thinking, you know, these guys just haven't gotten a fair shake or I know that I can get them to play well? Or does he just have so much confidence in his ability to build a team around players' abilities that it doesn't matter if they're superstars or extremely talented or whatever. It's going to be interesting to see. This is a very different approach than we've seen with the Buccaneers for a long time. I mean, normally we're out there winning the free agency, you know, signing big name, big money people.
Right. Well, and his approach to practices, having two practices where everyone's getting a shot. I think it's what you said, that maybe these guys haven't gotten a fair shake or, I mean, he loves giving people opportunities who otherwise don't have opportunities. That's kind of been his MO through his career and certainly at Arizona as head coach.
I feel like he thinks the second string guys are just as important as the first string guys.
Well, and that's what we saw in that Amazon series All or Nothing is that he, I think in 2016, dealt with a lot of debilitating injuries on the team of important pieces.
Right.
And that's when he started doing this two practice thing and really looking at the depth because, you know, they had gotten burned by not having suitable rotational guys that could come in and fill holes like that.
It's a smart thing to do. I think something we're going to see catch on in the league.
Yeah.
You know, the way Arians is doing it. That's all dependent on if we win games.
Right.
If we lose, nobody's going to pick it up.
Well, the Patriots kind of do it too, but they do sign more big name free agents.
Yeah.
But they've got guys where you can just throw them in there and they're serviceable and they do the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everybody wants to be like the Patriots. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's follow that model. God, can you imagine how nice it'd be to have a winning team like that for, what's it been, 19 years?
That's why everybody hates Patriots fans.
18 years, yeah. It's just envy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want that. Could you imagine? I mean, they've had the same quarterback for 18 years.
Well, the rest of the teams in their division have been crap.
This is true, too.
No competition. But is it just because they've been beating the snot out of them for so long? I don't know. That could be, too.
Every team in that division has been trying to beat the Patriots for 18 years.
Yeah. Can't do it.
Can't do it. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us, guys. We will get another podcast out when some new news comes out. We'll probably have one out Wednesday covering Monday and Tuesday's free agency. If anything big happens between then and now, we'll definitely get a podcast out. But as it stands right now, let's look forward to a Wednesday podcast. And until then, guys,
go Bucks.